Alright, ladies and gentlemen, we're here for part two of what was a very scintillating episode. Why do men cheat? The feedback has been astounding. You know, I know a lot of people are looking at us with a side eye. You know, a lot of people went away with an understanding. A lot of people went away with some confirmation, but at the end of the day, it's all truth, and we're going to continue to speak it in a way that resonates with everybody. I want it to be something. You deserve much better for the love that you have shared. It was a lot that we covered last episode. There's still a lot more to go. And so today we're going to delve a little bit deeper into the issue. With me, you know, as usual, to my left, we have Mr. Michael Natu, journalist and poet extraordinaire. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good enough. I can't complain. To my right, financial and sales coach entrepreneur, Mr. Carmelis. Doing, chief?
Corona free
and legendary. And today we have a special guest joining us all the way from Canada. Justin Trudeau, finally give him some time to free up. So, fashion guru, sports aficionado, sneaker collector. We're still trying to get our sneakers, our men's shoot sneakers all the way here. But when the border is free up, we're going to see what's going on. Mr. Narando Brown, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me, guys. Yes. How are you doing?
Yes, man. We're great, man. We try to level the playing field today, because today we have two gentlemen that have been married for some time. Narando, how long have you been married now? Is what, 3 years?
Going on 3 years.
Hey, get it right, dude.
Get it right. No ass and ass. Give me careful. And Mr. Ellis, how long? 8 years?
About five.
And two of us are yet to be married, you know. So today we're going into, you know, why do men cheat, part two. I think one of the points that when we go into this, when in this part, we're going to go a lot deeper into issues like the emotional side and all of these things. But before we get into it, we like to put our guests in the hot seat. So, Mr. Brown, we're going to ask you the very invasive question that we asked ourselves last episode. Have you ever cheated, sir?
I have, I think so, yeah.
You have? Okay,
yeah.
Okay, all right. And
I won't lament how far back, but I have
to. No, well, I know. We don't want you to lament that at all, because that would lead to some further lamentations, mm-hmm. You know. But we want to know, you know, if you could recall, like, what were the reasons, or the reason, if it was a repeated reason?
I think initially it was me coming to an understanding that the person I considered my significant other at the time didn't have me upon that pedestal that I had her. So it was, I'm making excuses here, but.
No, you don't need to qualify it, man. Your truth is your truth, man.
I'd say I felt a bit neglected and I wasn't receiving the attention that I was seeking. And as a result, I strayed. I went elsewhere. I found it there. So,
with that particular experience, was there any internal reasoning to it? Like any sort of thing that had to do with you specifically that you might have thought about at the time?
All right. I was back in high school, and I'm thinking like there were expectations that I couldn't fulfill.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I was maybe expecting something of her that she didn't see necessary, and she was expecting something of me that I couldn't provide.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, I think, I'm not saying that is the reason why she went elsewhere, but based on my understanding of the situation, that's what I fathomed from it. And as a result, I'm like, okay, I used to invest maybe 90%, I started giving 60%. And then it dwindled down to 40 and that sort of thing. So stuff happens, and I use that as a learning experience. You know, you were young and naive. And there are certain things that you're still, like, new to, quote-unquote. So it was just one of those things, and I think it helped me a whole lot in my current relationship as well.
Do you think that cheating only happens physically?
No. The mindset of most individuals will think that, okay, once you go in bed or whatnot with a person, that's when the cheating begins. But that's not how it works, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Let me put it that way. Because you may be physically here with someone every day, but emotionally and everything else, you're elsewhere. And as a result, you won't be investing that much effort into the person that you're here physically with, right? Because you're not as invested in it. When you're in a relationship, I'd like to think I'd like to give everything, both emotionally, physically, spiritually, everything. So if I'm here with you physically and spiritually, I'm two blocks down the road with that young lady, and emotionally, I'm there with her as well. Any rational being would think, okay, he's only here with you physically, but everything else is down there because he's coming down and he's sitting there and pouring out his heart to me, he's doing everything there. You may not have had sex with that particular person as yet, but everything else is with that person. And I think that's where it starts.
But that's a question. Nana, do you feel like when somebody cheats, do you feel like that's a sign that the relationship needs to end, or a sign that the relationship is ending?
People cheat for different reasons. So a sign that relationship is ending, it's a stretch. But it depends. First, you need to find the root of why that person is cheating. Because as we were elaborating on earlier, some people just cheat for sport. Not necessarily the female or the male's shortcoming that led that person to cheating. And as a result, nothing that person changes can contribute to the relationship.
Because following up on what Nato was asking, because, you know, a lot of women usually ask, why not just leave? Instead of cheating, why not just leave? Is it that easy?
Is it? No, because, all right. I read something recently where I think a young lady said she got married to this gentleman, and like the gentleman started cheating, and then a few months or years later, he left her and said he only wanted to feel the rush of cheating.
I saw that somewhere for real,
and I'm thinking to myself, you went into that relationship or that marriage with that mentality beforehand. That means you would not have received the rush that you were expecting, because you would not have cared for that person enough. Because the rush only comes about when you're afraid of losing the person, quote unquote.
Mm.
Same anything, if you're racing a car, the only rush to it is because you're basically
trying to lose your life.
Exactly. So it's a thin line between life and death. So that's what creates the rush. So if you're in a relationship that you're not fully invested in, or say you don't care what happens in a relationship, you don't get that same rush from cheating. Then say you're in a relationship where you've invested everything and you love the person, but you just want the rush of cheating. If you follow what I'm saying.
Yeah. Is it, and I'm asking everybody now, is it a valid reason? Is cheating a valid action to take if, let's say, you outgrow the other person? I know Karim has some thoughts on that.
No, I wouldn't say it's a valid step to take. I touched on it previously where there are stages to fixing something before it gets to that point of no coming back. And in the point of no coming back, I'd assume that's leaving the relationship or you're initiating a cheating phase. If you've outgrown the person mentally, physically, emotionally, whatever you call development or growth-wise, and you're trying to bring that person along that journey, and they're just not coming, you're not getting through, you two aren't connecting, and there's somebody else that you're connecting with, the time span, that's up to the individual, how long or whatever, how much you can take. But if that relationship is something that you treasure, something that you value, there is, you have to give it a chance. The time span, I can't tell you. For me, the time span could be 6 months. For somebody else, it could be 10 years. You understand? The time span doesn't matter. But it's not a reason for you to go out there and cheat. You could end it, and then you're free to do whatever you want to do. But then, again, it comes back to the stages that you're in your life and a relationship. See, a relationship is something, it's constant growth, it's constant something you have to constantly work. It's like a job. And I don't think it should be, but it actually is. And if two individuals aren't on the same wavelength, or they probably aren't close. You're constantly going to have headbutting, especially during communication. And communication is something that also leads to a lot of cheating. I'm pretty sure Noranda, being in a relationship, can agree with some of the stuff that I'm saying. If you and your spouse not connecting a certain way, there's a certain level of animosity there. There's a certain level of disconnection, even emotionally, sexually. Everything is off. You understand? And until you get back on that same wavelength, nothing can. You understand? Now, if in that space, let's say you've allowed your relationship to deteriorate so much that you can't even communicate with this person, and there's somebody else on the outside that you're communicating with, you're automatically, it's human nature. Worse if that person is attractive, which human beings, we tend to talk to people, we tend to attract what we want. So if you start talking to somebody who is attractive and you guys are communicating, things might lead to something else. You understand? And it's at that point where you now have to really pull yourself back and decide, all right, how much do I value this relationship that I'm currently in? Is it, am I willing to lose this relationship for this short-term fling or whatever it is? Is this relationship so far gone? You understand? Is this relationship so far gone that it can't be recovered or it can't come back and I'm going to start something new with this person? So that's also one way of looking at it, that I think.
There's something I find interesting. Know that, you know, I'm listening to what you said, Kirk, and is there an element of consider of you being considerate in cheating? Because this is what I mean. When you're in a relationship with somebody and when you consider the question, you know, why not leave if you want to cheat? I feel like the person who is considering cheating, you are weighing outcomes. You are thinking about, all right, what would hurt this person more? Because if I'm to leave this relationship, I end up breaking this person's heart, like in a way that it is explicit, because you saying you want out of the relationship, there are no blurred lines there. It's I'm leaving. So you consider that, and you consider the emotional baggage to that. But when you say, all right, I don't need to leave this relationship, maybe I just need to find an outlet, you consider that to be less emotionally taxing on the person you care about, and therefore you start to lean to that. So is there an element of being considerate in cheating? Can a cheater be considerate?
I think cheating is more of a personal thing. It's a selfish act because it considers mostly the person who's doing it. So we seldom consider the next individual, because if we were to consider our partners, so to speak, each time we should cheat, then I don't think anyone would be cheating. After everything happens, then you're like, okay, what would happen if my partner finds out about this? Or what would happen?
Do you get
what I'm saying? Biologically, males are like more sexual beings than females.
So it goes up to your nature.
Right, because if you check it, I've been reading on it for some time. I think that area of your brain that controls your sexual thoughts and activities for males is 2.5 times bigger than that of female. So naturally, males are going to have like bigger urges. Males start masturbating earlier than females. They masturbate 3 times as much as females, even since adolescence. So that what you just mentioned is just a female identifying that, okay, my male companion has urges that maybe I am not able to fulfill, and instead of losing this individual, I am
to go there.
I'm agreeing with that in another round, but I'm saying, yeah, because of the very existence of something like that, does it not mean then that in relationships, in those particular cases, there are circumstances where preserving the relationship is better than preserving the traditional context or construct of that particular relationship, such as the person going outside, you know what I mean? So when you cheat and you wait, there's a version of that where you're saying, all right, do I need to throw this whole relationship away simply because I want to have a fling? Do I need to leave this relationship completely, knowing full and well that the person I'm interested in cheating with is not somebody I'm interested in having a long-term thing with, you know? So you say, all right, then I'm going to keep my relationship, that I'm going to have this fling because my relationship is not worth losing. It's a twisted reasoning because you're risking losing your relationship, but you are at the same time admitting that my relationship is not worth throwing away for this fling. So
I think it comes down again to the nature. And as men are, as human beings, we have to be real and honest with ourselves. What is it that I want and who is it that I am? If you know that you're not somebody who can commit fully, if you have certain urges in your mind from whenever, and you know that if you commit fully, there's a possibility that you're going to step out. Don't. Get it out of your system before you go into a monogamous, committed relationship where you're forced now with the emotional aspect of it, like, I really want to do this, but I'm bound because of I'm in a relationship, so there are certain laws that govern me being in a relationship, when really and truly I want to be out there exploring or doing whatever. So I think sometimes we just have to be real with ourselves and find out what is it that you want and stop beating around the bush. You don't need to be in a relationship. You didn't grow up saying that, hey, I need to be with one person for the rest of my life. I have to be in a relationship. Stuff never just went organized like that. As every individual is different, and you in yourself have to know what is it that you can handle, what you can't handle, what you're capable of doing, and what you're not capable of doing.
Yeah.
I would not go out there and tell a woman that, listen, just like if a woman tell me that I'm the only person she find attractive, I'm going to tell her she's bullshit. It's the same concept. I just feel like people just have to be real with yourself and really figure out at what stage in your life are you. Have you experienced enough and are you at a level where you don't need to fulfill those urges anymore? So you choose to come.
First thing first, I don't necessarily agree with the it's in our nature. I think we have sort of convinced and kind of restricted women to make them feel like they don't think about sex as much as we do. I think women think about sex or even have sex, have thoughts of sex equally or even more than we do, but we force them in this box of purity, so they're not supposed to speak about it. But as it relates to the nature part, I think that's, if we were to only do things that are natural, we'd never drive a car, we'd never fly a plane. None of those things are natural. The only thing that separates human beings from other animals is because we do things that are supernatural. So when men use that as a justification, this is the only time I part ways with the rest of my species. When they say it's because of a natural or biological reason, why they cheat? Because there are so many other things that we should be doing naturally.
Mm-hmm.
If we use that as a basis,
it's a sort of confirmation bias, isn't
it? Exactly. We only use it when it suits us. Because marriage is unnatural. When you think of, if we're using that as because there's nothing in our environment that says that we should get married, aka stand up in front a group of people or in front of a pastor and say, this is the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with. But that is a convention that we've learned to live by. Close isn't natural, right? But it's something that we've adapted to. So the part I definitely agree is we need to, because if it's part of your nature, no amount of sex is going to get it out of your system. Because every single morning you're going to wake up and you're going to have sex.
If it's a nature thing.
Mm-hmm. But if you admit that you are a human being, then you're saying that even though this is my basis nature,
mm-hmm.
you have to make the decision. Are you going to stick to your basis nature,
mm-hmm.
which is to get as many sexual partners as possible? And I agree, there's a point in your life where you need to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
Or are you going to elevate to the level and say, well, there are more important things than just having a number of sexual partners? And there's also the gray area that you can focus on more important things. And there's a type of relationship that's out there for you as well.
It's not black or white.
Someone asked me a question recently, what do I think about the whole phase? Is it necessary to have a whole phase?
And even that is a stigma.
And my response was like, calling it the whole phase is a distraction from what it truly is. This is a time when, let me not just say males, both males and females, that time when we are highly promiscuous, you know? We go after the thrill of experience. We want to have multiple sexual partners. We want to experience a bunch of different things, both males and females. So when you have those things and you have those experiences and people start to attract that stigma to it. Something that is a bit of a rite of passage, like in terms of, you know, the experience that you need to have as an individual.
Yeah.
Because I remember reading a study some years ago that you need to have at least 8 relationships to know concretely what you want in a long term.
And you know, and I know it's interesting because I also saw a study that says the average male on the planet has 4 sex partners. The average woman on the planet has 15. You hear what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying. There are a lot of things we write off as natural that isn't necessarily that way, that women don't think about it as much as possible. And culture has a part to do with recalibrating the brain. So half of the men, then we talk about them have whole heap of partners. Lie. That's the reality. And half of the women them that talk about they don't have partners lie as well. And so it's and I think what we've come to thus far is that you need to be honest with yourself. This is before or beyond cheating. You need to be honest with yourself and your desires. And I think what separates boys from men is being able to articulate that, whether you're single or whether you are in a relationship, that I want more or I am more. I want us to sort of detour to the emotional side of it. Why is it so much more fulfilling when we feel for somebody outside of the relationship?
Fulfilling in what I mean, like if they're...
No, like you have this emotional connection. Like, I mean, Karim talk about the fact that, you know, sex could just be sex.
To me personally, it's dangerous. I don't open up and get emotional to many women, right? There's like probably about 4 numbers that like that knows me, like knows when me take off my clothes, the raw me, you understand? The soft me, you know what I'm saying? So for me, when I start connecting with somebody on that level now, and they get that part of me, it's dangerous because now I can't differentiate. I'm emotionally tied to 2 different women. There's a song that Usher did sing.
What's a man to do?
What's a man to do?
I know it exactly.
When
he's loving too.
Courtney, you got your point. I was just going to say the same thing, because that's what differentiates your wife or your spouse at home from the females that you go out and have casual relations with.
So,
because, yeah, when you come home, you are able to spill your guts out to that person at home.
Exactly.
That's a person you make tea and sit and have a full conversation about David. So then, the minute you start having that,
that's where it's
with your spouse at home than the person out there. Yeah.
And then do you start to compare?
It's not a comparison. It's more of a the connection. You see, anytime the connection starts getting deeper with the other person, more than your wife or more than your spouse, then it's a battle inside of you, because you really don't want to be there. You'd rather be elsewhere, but then there's still a fear of loss with that person that you're with. Mm-hmm. And I said the fear of loss because, all right, I'm using myself for example. If I've invested 10, 12 years with somebody, that person knows me inside out. And even if I'm not connecting with that person, there's still a level of comfort. When I have that comfort with that person, however, there's still somebody else out here that you're connected with. So what you find yourself doing now is you're doing stuff. You try not to make any of them feel a sort of way, but in yourself, you're torn apart because you really don't know what to do. You're in love with 2 women. I'm emotionally entwined with somebody else.
And there's an internal battle.
And there's a, exactly.
But that's why earlier I was suggesting that there is an element of being considerate under those circumstances. It's a weird thing to say, but it almost sounds like as a man, you intentionally deprive yourself of making emotional connections with other women because you believe that this will, one, lead to the preservation of your relationship, and 2, you will not hurt as much if that information is to be made public. Because you're saying, like, your woman at home, that's the person you invest in emotionally, that's the person you are most comfortable with. If you are attracted to somebody else intentionally...
She might not be the one you're most comfortable with.
Yeah, but even so, but if you are attracted to somebody outside, you prevent yourself from being emotionally invested in them, because for you, it's a selective process. Like in your case, Karen, when you said that you don't remember them, I don't think that just happens just like that, because you do have other encounters with people who you meet and you remember. But under those circumstances, you make a concerted effort to say, yo, I refuse to have anything deeper than
physical. In other words, he decides to let some people in and decides not to.
Right. And so...
Some people just creep in. Some relationships, they just... You don't even know, said, all right, something is actually
you here. You see it coming.
You didn't see it coming. And it really just creep up on you. You realize that one day you're with this person, and this person might... Let me tell you something. You might be having a conversation with this person one day, and they start saying some things, and in your mind, you're like,
resonate.
It's like a light switch go off in your head, and you're like, crap.
You have two
decisions to make at that point. Cut off this person, or continue talking. No, you're not going to really well. It's very hard to just get up and cut off a person like that. Yeah, and so you probably try to limit access. But when you start getting... You see, communication is a hell of a thing. When you have persons connect, when you have another female connect on a certain level that you and your spouse can't connect on, it can lead
to does that give credence to the argument that most females raise that you are not to have female friends or too many female friends? Because as men, we want to say, you know, like, as men, we want to say, you know, we do not... want to be dictated to about, you know, the kind of friends we have.
And then that pushes us.
But under those circumstances and knowing how we seem to so easily slip and slide into certain situations, does that give credence to the argument? does that give credence to the argument when a woman says, I am not comfortable with the female friendships you have?
Yeah.
Because we get defensive when we are talking.
I think we can't all maintain level head in every situation. There are some situations that we're going to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
And that's
huge.
I am always rational in every decision I make, or every conversation, or every statement I make. That's a stretch. As it relates to the part of the situation about females, I've had female friends since basically the day I was born. I'm friends with this young lady. We were born on beds next to each other, and we've been friends from that day till now. And my partner telling me I can't be friends with this particular person, there won't be a relationship there. It's not that I'm choosing my friend over my partner to be, but if you're giving me an ultimatum now, that means I don't have a choice. And in any relationship, we are supposed to be able to talk about things.
And you've limited my voice the moment you've given me an ultimatum.
Right? So there isn't any freedom then. Going into that relationship, I am going to be asking questions about what else am I going to be bound with.
And here's the thing.
Orlando, you can't watch football Saturday morning to 12. Orlando, you can't cook soup on Saturday. Orlando, you can't rice and peas on Sunday. Exactly. Relationships are bound by compromises. So you going into that relationship, okay, Narando is friends with this person for 15, 16, 17, 20 something years, I can live with that, right? However, Narando, these are the boundaries then, and I would appreciate it if you don't do this then, right? You're not telling me that you don't do this, but you would appreciate it, or this makes me feel bad, so I'd prefer if you do not do this. That's not a person coming out and saying, okay, Narando, you can't do this. But she is explaining to you that, okay, this hurts my feelings. I know the onus is on Orlando to say, okay, if I do this, it will hurt my partner's feelings. And these are the type of conversations that make relationships work.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I wouldn't accept an ultimatum. What I'm pretty much advocating for is this. Like, when a woman proposes such an ultimatum, the base reaction is, this woman is crazy. You know, like, why would you impose the restrictions on another human being? And my thing is, when we do that, we kind of invalidate the other person's experience, because there may be something that might have led to them feeling that, all right, then this is something I need to institute in order to protect my emotional well-being. Yeah. So what I'm simply saying is, when we are proposed, when such arguments are proposed to us, rather than the base reaction of saying, yo, like, understand that there might be a place that it's coming from, and a place that is valid, and we have all right to say this is not something I'm willing to engage in.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Right.
Instead of coming out with the ultimatum, elaborate past experiences or things your preference, your like or your dislike of a particular issue, and then elaborate that or communicate that to your partner. You can't have a female friend or a male friend. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you're going to say, okay, I had an instance where a female friend was friends with my partner and it ended up resulting in them having a relationship and I was left behind or whatnot.
That's the part. That's where I cut off. Because I think culturally as men, we've been raised to think for women and also to feel for women and decide for women. But I've long given up. I'm not thinking or feeling for any woman. And if I know that I'm not going to try to fix your insecurities
by
meeting certain demands.
Mm.
So I'm not discrediting what you're saying.
Right.
What I'm saying is I am not equipped to fix your insecurities and your trauma. If you start by saying your ex left you for a female friend that he was with, right? And you still haven't gotten over it, then the immediate question I'm going to ask is, so do you then expect me to not have any female friends? And if she says yes, then it's one, either you work through that and let me know when you work through it, or two, let's part ways now. There is no in between. And I'm telling you this from experience. If everything I do is going to be a reflection or a reminder of what somebody did before,
that is
an emotional prison. So don't tell me I have to hold your hand because your last boyfriend wasn't emotional and you said hold your hand.
Right.
Don't tell me that I need to put up your profile picture because your last boyfriend wasn't emotional enough to put up your profile picture. Go back with him and sort out for your misuse.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's why I said, like, for me as a man, I know what I can manage.
Yeah.
I'm not discrediting. Right? I think discrediting would be like saying, you're a foolish, this year,
we are going to do this anyway.
That's the fine line that we need to draw, because sometimes as men, we spend very little time thinking about what we want and what we need and the things, the reasons behind we do it. You won't believe it, but girl, I swear that I got love for you, big love for you, even when I'm tripping. The fact remains that you will always be my baby, well, dig the truth, baby, dig the truth, I can't hide my feelings, especially when the whole world can see that my heart is in two different places. I got you in my life and I wanna do right, but it's hard to let it go when my love has two different faces. And I can't break ties cause they both look right. Someone tell me.